This is Leah Gage, and today on Leah's Movie Lowdown, I'll bring you my interview with filmmaker K. Patrick Duterra, the man behind the recent short film, The Last Hurrah. The Last Hurrah is one of five films that will be screened during the first monthly Leah's Indie Film Series at Soundstage 909 on Thursday, April 13th at 7 p.m. I began by asking how he got his start in the film industry.
That is an interesting question. I was working actually as an advertising copywriter, writing commercials, and eventually I got laid off, and I had a friend who was a screenwriter, and it just kind of got me curious about screenwriting in the interim while I was looking for work, and everything just kind of grew from that.
I wondered how writing commercials was different, if at all, than writing a film.
In some ways, it is more challenging because you're not just making an effort to, you know, to entertain. You also have to be obviously, you know, promoting a product or a service or what have you, and the strengths of that. So you've got to do that in an entertaining way. And so there's a lot more that goes into it as far as like the strategy behind it and coming up with a concept that's going to be a good vehicle for that, as opposed to, you know, film, where it's just more something that, you know, speaks to you, that you want to kind of put out there into the world. And in a lot of ways, that was, you know, one of the really more freeing things about making the transition, was that, you know, I didn't have a client to be responsible to or a creative director to be responsible to. And it was just about, you know, doing something that I felt like was interesting and entertaining, hopefully.
He went on to explain what his film, The Last Hurrah, is about.
The Last Hurrah is a post-war film noir. Takes place after World War II in 1947, and it is about a Bonnie and Clyde-esque couple. They are divorced, but they have a son together, and the male counterpart of the couple is thinking that it's his chance to get his lady back when he decides to do one last heist with her and rob a bank. And so they do rob the bank, and he's thinking, you know, it's going to reunite his family and get his wife and his kid back, but she has other ideas, so it does not end up working out exactly how he was hoping.
At less than 20 minutes long, there isn't time in the film to explain in depth the characters' backstories. I asked Duterra if he had developed the stories nonetheless, or if he hadn't bothered.
I did in my own mind, yes, but a lot of that, you know, part of the interesting part of making a film is that, you know, there's stuff that you, especially when you're a writer-director, there's stuff that you come up with, you know, in your own mind, and then you go through the process of talking about the characters with the actors, and then, you know, at some point they start to, you know, come alive in the actors' minds, and they start to get formed, you know, really in even more of a complete way than you formed them when you were writing. So the backstories end up kind of taking on a life of their own that, you know, the actors basically work with, you know, what you discuss together, and then they kind of add to that. So, yes, there was, you know, those elements of backstory was, you know, they were very, very experienced. It was nowhere near, you know, their first rodeo as far as the heist itself. But yeah, beyond that, I let the actors kind of put the meat on the bones as far as their backstories. I remember after going through Alexandra's character, her character Petra, with her, at some point I got some more feedback from a screenwriting friend about something, and he kind of put something in my head, and I was kind of on the fence, but I was like, okay, you know, he kind of won me over. And then when I discussed it later with Alexandra, she was like, oh no, you know, that doesn't make sense for her. And then I realized that she was right. And so that was kind of an interesting moment. And, you know, also you just have to depend on, really, really be able to trust your actors and depend on them throughout the process. After we, you know, made what I thought was the final cut of the film, there was, you know, one little editing detail that was, you know, in the climax, that when I showed Alexandra the film, there was something about it, you know, and it's about that moment that bothered her, and she couldn't quite put her finger on it for a little bit, and then, you know, she came up with, you know, a really quick solution that made it just way, way stronger choice as far as the editing. So I think that, you know, I will always, you know, take that with me and try and always, you know, get feedback for my actors, even, you know, as far as the edit, if they're interested, because, you know, they know this story and these characters, you know, hopefully as well as I do, if not better, by the time that the film is done.
I was curious to find out if making a feature as opposed to a short film was that much different.
There's so much work that goes into doing a short film. In a lot of ways, it's not that much more work to do a feature, because you still got to go through all of the same processes that you do with a short. But then, you know, you get something longer that you can hopefully sell and all that kind of fun stuff. So yeah, I would definitely aspire to doing that. And then probably after my next short.
Parts of the film were shot in the historic William Randolph Hearst building in downtown LA. I asked what went into securing such an iconic location for the shoot.
It was recommended to me by one of my consulting producers, Randy Bobbitt, and it's actually a pretty well-known place in Los Angeles for shooting production. But yeah, I was looking at different places, and once we went and did a tour of it, then it was just, there was not going to be any other place. I mean, it was just, it spoke to us so strongly when my producer and I were walking through the building. I mean, it's this historic building that, you know, William Randolph Hearst himself actually used to have an office in. It's, you know, an old newspaper building, obviously the Herald Examiner. And so we were just blown away by it from the second that we stepped in, and we were geeking out on the tour, asking the building manager all kinds of questions. And, you know, he actually took a moment and made a comment about, you know, how he really appreciated that and that most people don't, which kind of shocked us, because, I mean, the building is, you know, as you've seen from the film, it's just really, really spectacular. So to be honest, I really think that genuine interest might have even helped make a difference in helping us secure the location, because he had to, you know, there's a lot more high profile, you know, feature films and TV shows that shoot there. And he kind of had to work us in on a weekend when, you know, a bigger production was shooting during the week, and then we were able to get the weekend. And it was a really long process of, you know, emails, and then he doesn't respond to all your emails, and so you want to, you know, stay on the person's radar but not bug them and drive them nuts. You just kind of have to keep the faith. And then at some point, you know, he got in touch with us, and it all worked out, and he, you know, worked with the budget that we had, and he was able to make it happen. But yeah, very, very cool to just be able to be in that building. I mean, we actually got to tour William Randolph Hearst's office, and there were literally papers in there still that were his papers. We were actually the last film that got to film there. It's now been closed down. It's being repurposed for something else, so no more filming there. Petra's apartment in the movie, I don't know if how apparent it is since it's dressed so differently now, but it's actually a replica of the Oval Office, and it was built for, you know, a TV series.
With such an amazing building as a backdrop and all the sex appeal that noir is known for, The Last Hurrah is not a film to be missed. The Last Hurrah will screen during the first monthly Leah's Indie Film Series at Soundstage 909, Thursday, April 13th at 7 p.m., 909 Islington Street, Portsmouth. Admission is $5. I hope you can join me for a night of great indie film. My thanks to K. Patrick Tutera for telling me about his awesome film. This is Leah Gage.